welcome back to Project Independence in You. I'm your guest host today, Rebecca Miller, and our co-host is
Jerry Peritzman.
Jerry Peritzman.
The most important guest host you've ever had.
I know. I have that right in front of me. I was just going to say that, but you said it first. I'd like to welcome our special guest today, Dr. George. I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and if I do, please. Gubernikoff.
It's great.
How's that sound?
It's perfect.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. You're a non-invasive cardiologist and the medical director for the Center of Aortic Disease at Winthrop University Hospital. That's a mouthful. I thought Christina had a really long title, but Christina, you have definitely some competition.
So right now I am the director of non-invasive cardiology and the clinical cardiology services and the director of the aortic center.
Oh, wow.
So I'm one of the people that does not put needles and wires in people.
Okay.
I kind of use my mind and my pen.
You must have an interesting business card, though.
And an interesting letterhead, because there's too many things that are there.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. And Jerry, as we were talking with the doctor right before we came on, February is Heart Health Month. And it's go red, and there's all kinds of things happening, even in the town and with a lot of facilities kind of focusing on your healthy heart. As you know, we're an aging in place program for the town, so there's a lot of issues with the heart, I think, that happens as we get older. And some things are different between women and men. So I was wondering if you could kind of give us some examples of things that women might have kind of symptoms of that men may not, or are they all similar?
Could I ask you one question, though? Could you define for us what non-invasive means, other than sticking needles?
So there's really, in the field of cardiology, there's interventional cardiologists and non-invasive, non-interventional cardiologists. The interventional cardiologists are the ones that do angiograms, catheterizations, stents, do structural heart interventions. So they usually go through an arterial access site, usually the femoral artery or the radial artery, and through wires and sheaths, they can do procedures on the heart. Electrophysiologists, electrical cardiologists who take care of the electrical issues in the heart are also in that interventional invasive. The rest of the world of cardiology, which is echocardiography, nuclear cardiology, CT, and cardiac MRI, would be the non-invasive cardiologist. Basically, we do a lot of imaging techniques. And the world now has really allowed us to do three-dimensional imaging, which allows us to see the heart rather than in two planes, but in three planes. And so it's added a whole new dimension to what we do. So let me get back to to your comments.
Okay.
And I was here before, and I talked about art and the heart.
Right.
And I was trying to think about what would be really interesting to talk about. And the first thing that came to my mind about older patients, people over age 60 or 65 with heart disease, is I'm going to go back in time to talk about Louis Pasteur, who said, chance favors the prepared mind, which is one of my favorite sayings. And I think serendipity is really that prepared mind who can see an observation and understand what it means,
right,
rather than having an observation just go past your mind and not know what it means. So in the Vietnam War, when young men died in their late teens and early 20s, the U.S. Army and the military did autopsies on them. And what they found, which was a very important contribution to cardiovascular health and our understanding, was that people who had heart disease at the age of 20 or 25, that they were already developing coronary artery disease. And the first process was what's called a fatty streak, which is where fat deposits in the artery, and it starts at age 20. And then the other observation was that when people got transplants, when you looked at the hearts of people who were transplanted from a young person who died in a car accident or of a brain aneurysm that bled, those hearts also had early evidence of coronary disease. So the point I'm making is that even though we want to talk about older people with heart disease, the message is, has to be, that it's a process that starts earlier on before then. And you have to be aware that there are things that are going on for 20 or 30 years before you ever have the manifestations of the disease.
Right.
And then kind of with respect to what you said, differences between men and women. Women are benefit from the hormonal milieu they have. The estrogens do seem to be protective. So heart disease in a man can occur at an early age, particularly if they have, you know, risk factors like uncontrollable hypertension, a strong family history, a smoking history. Women seem to be protected unless they are juvenile diabetics or smoke a lot. We rarely see women with heart disease until they approach menopause. And then when menopause occurs, in my mind, there are two phenomena that happen. One is initially the blood vessels, the mechanisms and the hormonal environment that protects those blood vessels are lost by the estrogen effect. And so arteries are more likely to go into vasospasm. And so there is something called variant angina, which is women, as they are going through that period of menopause, can start having chest pain syndromes without significant blockages. We call that variant angina. And then they have a catch-up phenomena. So if you're going through menopause between age 50 and 55, as you catch up, women will have heart disease, usually we say in a 10-year delay period.
When women are in that phase, 50 to 55, and they do have these kinds of, you know, symptoms, is that something that they should be talking to their doctor about? Is it just something to say, oh, this is just another menopause symptom?
No, I think, so that's also an interesting difference. Women tend to respond to their chest pains and seek medical care in the order of several hours later than men do with chest pain. And that's a really important thing that you're hitting on, that it should not be made as though it's a non-issue.
Right.
It should be an important consideration. I think if you have chest pain and you're concerned, you should never put it away. You should never say it's not an issue. Don't worry your family. That's when people come in that have devastating events and the consequences to them and their family go on for years and years and years. If you're worried about it, I tell my patients, if you're worried about it, if you it even crosses your mind, seek care. Go somewhere. If the doctor's office is there, call your cardiologist and say, I need to come in. If not, get to an emergency room. And the other thing about that one is don't drive yourself or don't have your spouse drive you to the emergency room. If you're having chest pain, call EMS. Have the people that know what to do that can make a difference if something catastrophic happens in those 20 minutes.
Right.
You don't want to be that person on the side of the road flagging for help when someone who is trained and knows what to do can make a difference in the outcome.
It's very true, and that's for a lot of things, but you know, especially chest pain. Sometimes people don't want to call 911 because they're still feeling, oh, you know, I don't want to make a big deal. What if it's nothing? But I've talked to a lot of emergency responders, and every single one has said to me, I've never come to an event of somebody whose chest pains were really anxiety or something minor and felt I've wasted my time. I'm happy to come and tell them, all right, you're okay. And then there are times where we rush them to the hospital.
Right.
But it's never a burden. That's what they do. That's why they're there. So people shouldn't hesitate.
There's an important message as we're talking about men and women, that women, you know, they're family centric. They worry about their family before they worry about themselves. You can't live in that milieu. There's nothing sexist about that. I'm not saying you shouldn't put your family first, but when you have a health issue, you and your family's future are at risk, and you need to go get the care that you can get. The other issue is that yes, women do tend to have somewhat more atypical symptoms. And so indigestion can be a coronary equivalent. A little bit of arm pain with nausea is a concern. So more women do have chest pain, and more often than not, their chest pain is their coronary presentation, but they are also more likely to have non-chest pain symptoms as part of their presentation when they have a heart attack. So those things are shortness of breath, nausea. The one that I tell people all the time is, if you break out in a sweat spontaneously, that's your body's way of telling you something is wrong. There's something wrong. Sometimes it's thyroid disease. You know, sometime it's a fever when you have a, you know, the flu or something and you break out in a sweat. But if everything is okay and all of a sudden you have some indigestion and your body breaks out in a sweat, I tell my patients that's your body's way of telling you that something is significantly wrong and you need to get help. That should almost never be overlooked. You know, sometimes, again, women do have the issue of, you know, postmenopausal night sweats, which can happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the middle of the day, if something happens and you're short of breath, you got a little indigestion, and you break out in a sweat, you need to go get help.
Wow. All right. Well, this is incredible information, and we are going to be back after a short break. This is Project Independence in You with Jerry Peretzman and Dr. George Grubnikoff.